For our scripture reading this morning, we turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We will begin reading with verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he, shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Our text this morning is verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, the context for this word of God that we consider on the occasion of the Lord's Supper this morning makes clear there is a great danger for us, as there was for the Jews of Jesus' day, as we come to the Lord's table this morning. For before you this morning is on the table prepared our Lord Jesus Christ himself, his flesh and his blood. To eat and drink of that flesh and of that blood is to drink and eat to eternal life. It is life itself. It is to receive our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great danger that we do not eat and drink, that we do not even understand or see with great wonder and admiration what is sitting here before us this morning. Like the Jews of Jesus' day, blind to his very appearance right in front of their eyes. They handled him. They touched him. They saw him. But they believed not. That which stands in the way is our own carnality, our own lust, our own flesh and blood. That was the case for the Jews of Jesus' day. That's what he was pointing out to them. They sought him on the other side of the Galilee. They found him, and they were excited to find him. But Jesus was not excited at their excitement. And he who knew the heart pointed out exactly why they had chased him down and why they sought him. It wasn't because he was the bread of life come from heaven. It's because he had taken some earthly bread, a few loaves and some fishes, and he had broken it and broken it and broken it and broken it and fed thousands of people with more bread left over than when he began. And Jesus said, you never saw the miracle. Oh, they saw the miracle, but they saw it only with their earthly eyes. They did not consider the miracle. They did not understand the wonder of the miracle. And so they sought Jesus only according to the lusts of their eyes and the pride of life. That was the kind of Messiah they wanted. That was the kind of Messiah Judas wanted. And in the end, therefore, they will crucify this living bread from heaven. This was really a fulfillment even of the great picture that Jesus himself points out in the passage where the children of Israel in the desert also rejected the true manna from heaven. Regularly, every morning, there was prepared for them angels' food. Amazing, amazing food, manna, by which God fed them in the desert for 40 years. And yet that's only what many saw. The same who lusted after all the wonderful food in Egypt, therefore became sick of that manna, complained about that manna, they rejected that manna, and they fell in their unbelief in the wilderness. These are all pictures of the great danger to us. God prepares us a table. A table of heavenly living bread, amazing, amazing food, prepares it for us regularly. Not only four times a year in the form that you see it here now this morning, but every Sunday, twice every Sunday in the preaching of the Holy Gospel, as well as the other sacrament. And we become blind. We take it for granted. We just expect it to be here. Perhaps our own pursuit of earthly bread gets in the way. This past week, rather than conduct an examination of ourselves to see what we really are, we were too busy pursuing earthly physical bread, forgot all about the living heavenly bread. Or we look at this meal and we turn up our nose and we say, I don't really need that. Or if I need it, I only need it a small amount. What I really need is all kinds of other things. Beloved, let it not be so. Let us this morning look at this word of God spoken by Jesus himself and see again anew the wonder that awaits us here at the Lord's table. Let's consider this passage, eating the living bread, eating the living bread. We notice in the first place the heavenly food that it is. Secondly, the everlasting nourishment that it provides. And then finally, the gracious gift that it is. Jesus, in his rebuke of these earthly, carnal Jews, his brothers and sisters according to the flesh, brings out that he is heavenly bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, from heaven. And it is a bread that is given for the world, that is this earthly world in which he is standing and speaking. This bread is heavenly because it is none other than the eternal Son of God come down from heaven in our flesh. That's what Jesus means when he says, I am the living bread come down from heaven. He must come down from heaven exactly because he is God, the second person of the triune being of God himself. Let us not question then this reality. You may say, this is just earthly bread and earthly wine. Even as the Jews around Jesus looked at him and said, this is just an earthly man. Do we not know his father and his mother? Do we not know the origins of this man? How can he come down from heaven? The answer is, he's the eternal Son of God. You may say to yourself, I know where this bread came from. It came from a local bakery, and it was prepared by the elders. I know the wine. Perhaps spot the bottle that it came out of. How can that be heavenly meat and drink? But indeed, this is heavenly bread come down from heaven and come down by the greatest of miracles, the incarnation. That's the wonder here. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we ought to be reminded of that which we typically celebrate, perhaps only at Christmas time. This is the very thing the Jews themselves did not believe. This is what was behind their questioning, do we not know his parents? What they did not understand, what they did not believe, is that Jesus is not simply a man with flesh and blood like they have flesh and blood, but he is God with flesh and blood. Great wonder of grace whereby the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternal and everlasting God, the one who dwells in a light unto which no man can approach, who is infinite in all of his being, in all of his life, in all of his existence, comes down from heaven to earth and assumes, takes unto himself a human nature, so that he too now is united to flesh and to blood. Even more amazing is Jesus makes clear not only that this and he is heavenly, that the source is heavenly, the life is heavenly, that everything about this bread is heavenly, but that it's food. And the idea is even the most basic element. Many times in Scripture when you read that word bread, it's a substitute for everything that we need. To be sure, it can represent the most basic of food, but in doing so, it represents everything that we need for life, everything that sustains and supports life, especially in the form of food. There's something about food that more than any other we need. We need shelter and we need clothing, but we can live without those. But without food, we perish, we die. And this too, you understand, was part of the answer of Jesus to those questioning Jews. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That was the question. Well, first of all, they ignored the heavenly part. They ignored the reality that if indeed he claimed to be from heaven, then he must be God come down from heaven, God in our flesh. But if now, as they could see clearly, he is a man in their flesh, if he is bread, that which is to be eaten, then he must also die. And if dead, how can he be the living bread? Good question. We know the answer. We know the answer exactly because in their unbelief and their rejection of Jesus as the living and heavenly bread, they would crucify him, kill him because he made himself equal with God. But in so doing, it is revealed how and why this body, this blood, this flesh of Jesus is eaten and how it is drunk. It is broken and poured out in death. Indeed, this one come from heaven will be crucified, cruelly, cruelly crucified. But even more than that, he will die under the wrath of God. This heavenly food and drink must come down and must be killed, must die. Only then can it be eaten. That's clearly implied when Jesus says that he gives his flesh and blood and he gives it for life. He gives it for the life of those who otherwise would be dead, and would be dead exactly because the wages of sin is death. This is a death, therefore, that is for sin, to pay the wages of sin, and in so doing, can be eaten. It's an amazing thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. And the benefit comes to us because now when we eat that flesh and that blood, then we actually receive him by means of communion. This is our great need. This is our great deliverance, beloved. The whole thing is there. That exactly because of sin, those sins must be paid for, the wages of sin, which is death. And the way that that is done is by the very death of this heavenly bread come down from heaven. And then don't ever forget, that bread must be eaten and is eaten so that his life is our life. And that's the other part of the answer. When the Jews asked, well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Part of the answer is that he must be eaten, and eaten now by faith. That's why they wondered. They lacked faith or had no faith. That's why they could not understand what Jesus was saying. That's why they could not see him. That's why they could not understand him. He's not earthly bread. He's not earthly bread to be eaten with the mouth and digested by the stomach. He's not even heavenly food in the sense that manna was heavenly food that came down from the sky. He's truly from heaven. And flesh and blood cannot see, cannot hear, let alone eat and drink that which is from heaven. And so, like believing Israel that looked forward to our Lord Jesus Christ and saw him in the sign of the manna, so we eat by faith. That's brought out many places in the passage. After that section that we read, Simon Peter asks about To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Talks about faith. Jesus brings that up. Except a man believe, he does not eat. Ye see me not, Jesus says, because you believed not. And so they would not eat because they believed not. That is how you and I eat this morning. That is who is benefited this morning. It's not the bread and the wine that you eat and drink. It's not what the mouth does and what the stomach does. It's not what the hands do. It's what we do by faith. We eat and drink by faith. The hand and mouth of the soul. That's how this heavenly bread comes down to us. So see that this morning, beloved. Look beyond the dishes. Look beyond the wine and the bread itself. And see the living bread, our Lord Jesus Christ. And see its origins. See to yourself that this supper, this feast, doesn't originate in the consistory room somewhere, but originates in heaven. And what it brings you is nourishment from heaven. And that's the second thing our Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes when he calls it living bread. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. So it's living bread, and then notice, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Speaking now of the primary benefit or nourishment of bread. And this is always the amazing thing that the Lord's Supper brings to us. The benefit of the death of Christ is not simply that Christ died. The benefit of the death of Christ is that we participate in that death by actually receiving, taking in, consuming, as it were, our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we would bread. To be sure, the bread is broken. The body of Christ has been crucified. The wine is indeed poured out for us to eat and drink. And in so doing, Jesus paid the wages of sin. But he is also to be consumed, to be received. There's nourishment. There's actual life and nourishment in Christ himself. Now, it's true that Jesus emphasizes, especially in this passage, a future benefit. He talks about he who shall never die, and talks about what he will do in the last day. But it's clear from our Lord Jesus Christ himself that that life is something enjoyed when one eats and drinks him by faith. That what Jesus will do in the future and that what one enjoys in the future is part of a life that's received in eating and drinking in the very body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in this very bread that is consumed and taken in. And we know that to be true. Here we are. When you receive this bread and this wine this morning by faith, then you do not say to yourself only, this does not benefit me now, there is nothing here for me now. The only thing that's a benefit here now is a few calories, a little bit of nourishment that I find here for my body. We say, no, there's life for my soul here. Is that not also your experience? Is that not what we know to be true every time we participate in the Lord's Supper by faith? We find peace for our soul. We came to the Lord's Supper convicted in our hearts of the truth of the matter that we are sinners and sinners worthy of death. That there is nothing that separates us or differentiates us from any other sinner on the planet. In fact, our sins are even more grievous, and they weigh more heavily upon our conscience and our mind, exactly because the God against whom we sin is the very God who came down from heaven and gave himself for us. But we also remember why the bread is broken and the wine is poured out. Payment in full was made, it is finished, and so one finds peace. That peace is life. The very definition of life is peace. Peace with God, peace with one's neighbor, peace in the conscience, peace in the soul. But there's more than that. There is a life of holiness. The life that you take in is the life of the Holy One, the perfect one, the righteous one. That is not a sinful life. That is not a wicked life. That is not a life like any other human being on the planet that is corrupted with the great infection of depravity, but one above that. It's from heaven. And so when we partake of that, we enjoy the life of holiness. Just like when we eat bread, that bread becomes part of us. It becomes who we are and what we are. So also when one partakes of Christ. But then there is too this, what Jesus emphasizes, that also in the future, one shall never die. He shall live forever. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean to say at all that one shall not die as to their own flesh. In fact, we expect that flesh to die. We want that flesh to die, for we know that only then are we truly free from sin and iniquity and corruption. Our flesh must die. But we ourselves shall not. We shall never die. Isn't that an amazing thing? That the very benefit of what we have here this morning is not simply something that we enjoy until the next time we have the Lord's Supper, or something that we enjoy only for a few hours or only a few years, but is of everlasting benefit. That the life that we partake of is immortal, is beyond the realm of death, because that very death by which the bread is broken conquered death, eliminated death, took death out of the picture as far as our Lord Jesus Christ himself is concerned. And so when we participate and partake of him, eat him, we too shall live forever. In the soul, upon our earthly death, and body and soul forever and ever in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, an amazing, amazing thing. Now, why is that? What's the explanation for that? Well, Jesus tells us that too. Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him." Of course, that's the picture. When you take in bread and when you eat bread, we all know, where's the bread? It's in me. There it is. And pretty soon, that bread and the nourishment that it is and the life that it brings courses through my whole body, gives me energy for a certain amount of time. So also, when we eat and drink Christ, we literally take him in. Christ is not our Christ. Jesus is not our Jesus. The benefits of what Christ does isn't simply something out there, far, far away. Not even that they exist in heaven and aren't enjoyed here, but they are brought right down here and even closer than that. We go from there inside us. And the amazing thing that doesn't apply to the picture, Jesus doesn't say simply that he that eateth me, I dwell in him, but he dwells in me. Think about that. You don't believe simply about Christ and about some things that he did, but you literally believe in him. He dwells in you, and you literally dwell in him. His satisfaction and the benefits of his satisfaction and his deed, his very life, courses through our existence. Finally, beloved, notice the emphasis that this is all a gracious gift. That should be clear, in the thing itself. This is bread that came down from heaven. This is bread that is otherwise inaccessible. All we can see and hear and understand and know is earthly bread. We know nothing of heavenly bread. And then, even if we would happen to know it, how do we access it? How do we get it? How do we receive it? It's heavenly. It's there. There's the Son of God. God who knows these things comes down to us, comes down to us in the incarnation, and then knows and understands that Jesus in his earthly physical life is of no use. Sin must be paid for, and so he crucifies his own Son. He delivers him over unto death to suffer under his own wrath, to take upon himself what unrighteous sinners deserve, and does everything that we could not do and would not want. That's what Jesus is pointing out when he says, this is heavenly bread. And this is heavenly bread that came down from heaven. And then notice, in case we do not understand it, this is the bread that I give. You didn't desire my death. And for those who did desire my death, you desired my death because of your unrighteousness. You wanted to kill me. You wanted to slay me because of your own carnality. You were blind to who I am and what I am. And you are blind to my origins. You are blind to my miracles. You are blind to the reality that I am the living bread from heaven that brings everlasting life. So you kill me. Still happens today. Jesus is killed again and again and again and again. Not at the Lord's table, where he's broken in commemoration, but killed in hatred and in unbelief. Killed and devoured with gnashing teeth because men do not want his life, heavenly life. They want earthly life. It's all they're interested in is earthly bread and earthly kings and physical things. Just like Israel of old, just like the scribes and the Pharisees and the unbelieving Jews. What they forgot is the grace of it all. This is the bread that I give. Jesus gives himself, beloved, to you, not only by placing himself here. Understand that. Christ placed himself here, just like he placed himself on the cross. This is why he emphasized, no man takes my life, I give my life. I willingly lay it down. He willingly places himself here and gives himself to us this morning. But there's more to it than that. As Jesus himself points out, the idea is not that Christ here now offers himself to you, that he died for the whole world and now those have benefit who only partake of him. That's true insofar as is indeed true. But don't imagine to himself that you even partake in and of your own strength. That too, the eating and the drinking itself, the faith that he gives, by which you know and understand is his gift. Jesus points that out, not in the passage that we consider, but earlier he did. Remember the question? Remember the question that the Jews asked? When Jesus is entering into them, they ask the very important question, what shall we do? What shall we do that we might live? And Jesus points out this. Notice very carefully how he puts it. This is the work of God. What is? What is the work of God? That ye might believe on him whom he sent. Do you believe, beloved, that Jesus Christ is the living bread? Do you believe that he has come down from heaven? Do you believe what he said, that the man or woman who eats him shall live forever? That too is the work of God. And so eat and drink this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, O Lord our God, apply thy word unto our heart and soul, And since, O Lord, our faith is so weak, Thou hast given us even this table, this great picture of the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even when our faith, our own conscience and experience grows dim because of our very own foolishness and wickedness, and our own carnality, we may so eat and drink and understand and believe by Thy grace who and what He is unto everlasting life. So grant, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.